evening.
Man, that's cranked up. Oh, man. Everybody dry? I'm dry, finally. I felt like it was wet the entire afternoon. It's good to be with you guys. Isn't it just... I love coming into church because it's one of those places that... You know you're with people who have that similar mindset, right? Sometimes you go to so many different places within your own world, whether it's a job, whether it's family, and you just, so much negative. And when you come into church, I pray that this is the atmosphere that you feel sometimes. There's just an atmosphere of positivity and love, and Christ's love just flowing through this place. And tonight I feel it again. Isn't it cool how God just kind of works things together? Scott, I love that song that you sang. I can't say that I've actually ever heard. I don't know what the name of it was, but it was He's Ever Interceding. That's what I wrote down, so that's perfect. I love it because that's not necessarily what the topic of the song was, but it was talking about the different individuals that God encompasses, and was talking about the brother, was talking about just always being there to intercede for you. And tonight, we're going to talk about one of my favorite, this is honestly one of my favorite characteristics. Because it's something that I see every day. It's a characteristic that I've looked up to my entire life. So if I get a little excited, if I get a little giddy, I love this topic. Before we get ahead of ourselves, let's go over what we talked about, like Roger said. Sunday morning, He is the King. He is the King that we are not waiting for to take over the throne. He's been on the throne. He still is on the throne. He'll never leave the throne. What was the second one? He's the teacher. He's the teacher that you've always wanted and never had. Yeah. He's the servant. He's the best example of the servant. He's the person that will never leave us. He's the servant that is walking by us every single day wanting to guide us. And tonight, He's our Father. And I mentioned on Sunday morning that the Father can carry so much weight because, well, you don't have to pray. Dive in at first to fatherhood, how Christ encompasses the Father. Let's have a word of prayer. Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being with us tonight. I pray that you will speak a message to all of us. I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are not the words that I've prepared. Lord, you know that there are lots of thoughts and perceptions and ideas that run through my mind. But Lord, I just pray tonight that you will be with us. I pray that you will take over. I pray that you will speak a message that we all need to hear. That we can view you in a different light. That we can appreciate you more than we've never, ever, ever appreciated you. Lord, we thank you for being that Father that's always loved us. We thank you for being here this evening. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name. Amen.
So, how many of you, I'm guessing you've all, in one way, shape, or form, heard the phrase, God is our Father, right? God our Father, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You get the point, right? I don't have to finish it. The question is how? Now, as I said on Sunday morning, the word Father has so many different connotations because within each of our different experiences with fathers, it's different, right? As I shared on Sunday. And I want you to know, just because he's sitting however many feet away, I would still say this, even if he was outside of the room. I love my father. I had a great experience. He was a great father. He did a lot of great things. Even though he didn't know anything about soccer, he was still my soccer coach. God love him. I don't know how he did it. He kicked a soccer ball with his bare feet. Stupid. When I coach Asher in soccer, I'll probably do the same thing. I don't know if I'll be able to beat them in sprints, but that's beside the point. That was pretty good, though, at the age of 45. Well, yeah. Good for you. Good for you. But at the same time, he made some mistakes, right? He messed up. Maybe he wasn't the best dad. Maybe he didn't discipline us in the right way. Maybe he yelled at us, but then 5 minutes later, he came back, apologized, brought us a bowl of ice cream. That was pretty cool. It actually happened to my brother. It never happened to me. Maybe that's why. Well, I won't get into that. But he messed up. He's done wrong things. I shared this before. My dad's told, there's not one thing you can tell me about my father, about the wrong that he's done in his life, that would catch me off guard. There's literally nothing. But you know what? The one thing I love about my father is he was willing to share it with me. And I was able to learn from it, right? For that, man, I've looked up to him my entire life. If you knew anything about my brother, my dad and I, we are the three amigos. And we look a lot alike too. But I'm not here to talk about my father. I'm here to talk about our father. I'm here to talk about what a father is. So let's look at it. Let's look at it in two different ways. When you look at your, and you can shout this out. I love interaction. I love talking. It's weird standing up here not having any feedback. I'm going to be honest with you. When you think of a father and you look at your father, what are some negatives? I want to hit you with the negatives before we get to the positives. You could probably list up a long list of them. What are some negatives within a father? Putting you down. Quick to anger. Spanks harder than mom. His belt was a little bit wider. Probably had more holes. Making you feel second or third. Non-existent. I got a couple more, but you guys are pretty much nail on the head. You're hitting the nail right on the head. Unimportant. Not as easy to talk to. Short listening span. I wrote short listening span, right? Maybe he's aggressive and over-disciplinary. Right? We could go on and on. But here's the next part. What are the positives? Because within all of that, there are positives. What is that? He loves you. He's strong. Compassionate. You might laugh at this one. He's wise. Most of the time. Right? If you want real wisdom, sometimes you just got to go to mom. It is what it is. I love you. I really do. He's fun. He's silly, right? I like to encompass that one. I like to think that I'm silly. Addie would not tell you that. I will be the dad that embarrasses her in front of her friends. He's the protector. Let me tell you what. I have two girls. One's only 5 months, so I don't have to worry about her. The other one is going to be 6 in January. I already have a plan on when she goes on her first date, what I'm going to do. I'm going to clean my gun. Not only that, let me tell you something. I have a brother who lives right next to me, and I have a dad who literally lives right next to me. My brother will be at the end of his driveway with a shotgun. My dad will be at the end of our driveway with a, what do you want to have? What did you say you wanted? Oh, you wanted a reaper. You wanted to be the Grim Reaper. And I'll be standing at the right at the door doing something aggressive. I don't really know whether it's cleaning a gun or... Long story short, I will let him know that I am here to protect my daughter. But as a father, that's who they need to be. They're the solid one. They're the protector. They're the ones that won't... I talked with... I don't know what you call him, because when I talk to Dad, he gives me so many different names, but... Gene, Van, Moose, however you knew him, whatever. He said something to me last night. He said, if someone came into your house, it was between you and your family, what would you do? I would die for them. I would lay my life down for them. I would protect them at all costs. I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, but that's you're talking about my kids and my wife, it's just a whole nother world. It's just a whole nother world. But so those are some qualities of a father. But we're going to dig a little bit deeper, more than just surface level. We're going to talk about the ultimate father. And not only are we going to talk about the ultimate father, but how Jesus encompasses that. Okay, so if you're looking for a message that has one scripture that's stuck on one, and you dissect it, this ain't your message. I'm just giving you a heads up, okay? Okay, so you can follow along, but you're going to be flipping a lot of pages. Take notes if you want to. But we're going to dive into it. The qualities of the ultimate father. Number one, his patience and his kindness never runs out. Psalms 103:17 says, "But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him." I want to focus right on that real quick. It never runs out for those who fear him. You'll get, okay, well, fear, you can dissect that in multiple ways. Are we talking about cowarding in the corner, knowing that whenever he comes home, he's gonna beat me because I pushed my sister or kicked her in the face or, I don't know, broke a dish? That's not the fear we're talking about. Fear he's talking about is the respect. He's talking about the... that ultimate love and fear that... You know, he can... The fear and respect... that you know he has you. And he could... the fear and respect to know that he loves you. Not the fear that he's going to hurt you, but the fear and respect and power that he has And within all that power, he still loves you. He still treats you with respect. Psalms 103:12 says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. It never runs out. It never runs out. It runs from the east to the west. If you try and meet those two, it doesn't happen. Here's a fun thought. I've thought about this before. And this isn't related to the scripture, but have you ever thought about people over in Asia or China? How do they have their map? Are they really in the east? Or do they look at the map and have us in the east? You ever thought about that? Are we really on the Western Hemisphere? I don't know. East and West, it's all about perception. That's just one of my ADD thoughts. That can get you in a deep hole sometime. Fact of the matter is, his patience is never ending. Thank goodness, because if he had the patience of me, boy, he would have smacked me off the face of this earth already. Number two, he's always approachable. How many of you have ever had that experience with your father or mother? Look, listen, here's another point I want to say. Mother and father is an earthly thing, right? I don't want to start any arguments, but God encompasses something greater than what a man or a woman is. Father is just kind of the generalized term. That's a rant for another day. He's always approachable. You ever had that experience with your parents where you're like, now's not a good time. I'm going to go back to my room. Like, you could just see it in their face. You walk into the room and your parents just have that conversation. Okay, I'm not going to talk to them about my grades. Notice how I always go back to school. It's a good topic for me. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and he will find grace to help us when we need it most. Psalms 121:3 says, he will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you does not slumber. He's always, when we say always approachable, we're literally saying always. You know, he doesn't sleep whenever you sleep, right? He's not on your timetable. You wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, there's someone, well, ironically, over in China that's in the middle of their day and are talking to him. He's always there. He's always approachable. There's never a wrong time to talk to God. Number three, you never need to earn his love. There was a time in my life where I felt like I needed to do the right things, right? You needed to earn his love. I never had a father that was so into sports that it's like you feel like, man, I gotta be an all-star in order for him to really truly love me. Or you want to talk about mothers? I didn't have a mother who was like, okay, listen, I know you tried your hardest, but an A wouldn't hurt so bad. Now, thank God for my mother, because I don't know what I would have done. I probably would have applied myself more. Let's be real. I would have figured it out. That's just reality. That's perspective. That's hindsight. It's 2020. I don't know what I was going for. You never need to earn his love. His love's already given to you, right? He already loves you. Even when you mess up, there's no such thing as a lost love for you. You know how much he loves you? Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. What did I say earlier? As a father, I would lay my life down for my children. My children and my wife are the most important things on this earth to me. And I can guarantee you, the fact that God gave up his only son so that we could be set free may have been the hardest thing for him to do. But he loved me, and he loved each and every one of you enough to allow his son to die for our sins as a sacrifice. So we didn't have to worry ever again. I think that's beautiful because, man, there's so many times in our lives where we worry about our relationships just falling apart because, you know, people got tired of us. We did wrong and they just don't want anything else to do with us. His love will never end. And we will never blow it enough to lose his love. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing. He has your very best in mind. He has your very best in mind. Romans 8:32 says, "Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" Now that's not saying when we pray and we say, "Dear God, I really need this raise. I haven't done enough to earn it, but listen, I need a little extra money." Does that mean he's going to give it to us? This is actually a legitimate question. Is he going to give it to us? No, not every time. Look, there is a chance you will get that raise. There's a chance that when I go home, there's a Jeep Wrangler sitting in my backyard. Probably not. Doesn't mean I can't pray for it. I like Jeeps. It's a Jeep thing. Don't worry about it. He has the very best in mind. He knows that if I had a Jeep Wrangler, there's a good chance I'd take it off-road and probably flip it, and then I just wasted a bunch of money, and I gotta feel like I gotta fix it. Okay. Here's a tough one. He loves enough to discipline. You know, as a father now, I totally understand the statement. Listen, this hurts me more than it hurts you. You ever heard that phrase? Listen, I don't want to beat you. This hurts me more than it hurts you. Well then, Dad, you turn the belt on yourself. That doesn't sound like a good idea to me. It's crazy because I remember I've never said that necessarily in those phrases to Adlina, but I've definitely said it to her where it's like, "Look, I don't want to yell at you. I don't want to scold you. I love you. I want you to know that what pretty much the difference between right and wrong. So kids, listen, I can say this because I'm only 29. It wasn't that long ago. Your parents love you. If they discipline you, it's not because they're like really getting a rush out of discipline you. Oh yeah, this is fun. This is good. I love whooping my kids. Oh, you know, the sound of their crying just makes my day. Although I will share this one story, okay? This is where ADD comes in. So follow along. If you have three or more children, there comes a time when all three will cry at the same time. I just happened to push it to the third one. My daughter was playing with a bowl of sprinkles the other day. Of all things, a bowl of sprinkles. Why? Because they go on her pancakes, naturally. And for some odd reason, her brother came over and knocked it out of her hands. Like brothers do. I laugh. She starts bawling. Hysterically. Talk about not crying over spilt milk. Don't cry over spilt sprinkles. And because she's crying, he starts crying. And I'm not talking like, I'm talking like tears are falling from both of their eyes. So because both of them are crying, naturally I'd like to tease. So I start crying. And I look at Ava and I say, now it's your turn. Not 10 seconds later, she starts bawling and she's 5 months. She's 5 months old. She doesn't know. And all three are crying. It was like a symphony. It was like a chorus. And you know, in that moment, you as a parent can't really get mad. I couldn't get mad because I'm the one that told her to start crying. But you know what? I don't know how that pulled into anything, but I just thought it was a funny moment in my life as a parent. We're all were crying. But, okay, so back on track. Loves you enough to discipline. I don't know. Oh, goodness gracious. The life of a parent, let's be real. Okay, this is why you have notes, okay? He loves enough to discipline. Proverbs 3:11-12. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as the father corrects a child in whom he delights. And then, of course, the verse that we've all heard. Proverbs 13:24. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children, and those who love their children care enough to discipline them. That is a true statement. Am I right? Parents, am I right? Like, you don't want your children to go the wrong way. You want them to learn what is right and what is wrong. And sometimes when they do the wrong thing over and over and over and over again, sometimes correction gets lifted. It's true in our own lives. Listen. I don't know about you, listen, I'm going to be vulnerable right now. Within my own life, I have battled with lust. Okay. This is getting deeper than I wanted to go, but you know what? There's a point to it. I've battled lust in general. And if you're in a male, you get it. Okay. But there's a point where it's gone on too long. And you think, I can battle this on my own. I can battle it. I don't need anybody else. It's just me and God. But time goes on. you realize that you can't do it on your own. You realize that the only thing you can do, no matter how many times you ask God for forgiveness, is one person that gets forgotten about. And in my instance, it's my wife. And that's what I've had to do. I've had to go to my wife and apologize to her. And God love my wife. She's walked with me hand in hand. And although there's a stage where it's like a discipline stage, where there's husband and wives, you know what I'm talking about. There's a stage where it hurts for both of you. But it also can bind you closer. Maybe it doesn't happen in every relationship, but I love my wife. She is a stronghold. She is an amazing woman of God. And she's walked with me. And I couldn't do it without her. And listen, we each have our own battles. If you look at yourself and say, I don't struggle with anything, I have very choice words for you. Hypocrite is actually the word I would like to use. If you want to look at others and say, you want to look at their negatives and say, psh, I'm not as bad as you, baloney. Okay, so that's deeper than I want to go, but the fact of the matter is, sometimes discipline, sometimes negative things, sometimes outcomes of things happen for us to learn. God doesn't want it to happen, but it's in order for us to learn and to become our better people. Sometimes it allows us to grow closer to Him. His timing is perfect. I love those videos online. I don't know if you've ever seen them where my timing has never been perfect. Like the time that the cart came down the hill with Gianni on it and hit Asher and he went flying like a sack of potatoes. Pretty funny after you watch it. But in the moment, I thought I was going to see broken limbs. You ever seen those videos where like a kid falls and for some odd reason, a father or a mother come in and grab their arms? They don't smack their heads on the ground. You ever seen those videos? You ever seen those? That's perfect timing right there. I don't have that perfect timing. I'm a little too slow. Psalms 84:11 says, for the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing for those who do what is right. His timing is perfect. He gives wisdom generously. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. There's a key in there. We want wisdom and we want answers. Well, sometimes we just forget to ask, to take the time and to voice, to pray, to ask God for that wisdom. He'll give it freely. He lets you make your own choices. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. In the moment we are making choices, we are allowed to make our own decisions. But no matter what we choose, God will fulfill His plan for us. Sometimes it's like a GPS. Ever followed a GPS? Yeah? Okay. You'll relate. You ever made a wrong turn? What do they say? be calculating. Sometimes that's how my brain goes too whenever she says that. She's like, oh my word, my brain, my mind goes blank. I don't know what I'm going to do. I panic. Recalculating. Then you're like, man, I wish I would have learned from my parents how to read maps better. I probably could if I needed to, but that's beside the point. Or learn roads better. Neither here nor there. But that's how God is sometimes. Right? You're praying for something, and maybe it doesn't happen in your timing. It comes back to perfect timing. For example, for me, I was searching for a new job for about 3.5 years. I was in a job where I was delivering water. A lot of fun. Drive around all day. Handle five gallon jugs? 45? It doesn't really matter. Big jugs. I did that for 5.5 years. But I got to a point where I couldn't go any higher. I wanted to grow. I wanted to use my college degree, but I couldn't do it. Then I started to apply to different jobs, and it took me 3.5 years till I found one. But God knew that I needed those 3.5 years to be prepared for the job that I was going to get. If I would have gotten that job 3.5 years prior, I wouldn't have been the man that I was. I wouldn't have had the experiences, whether it was job, whether it was life, whether it was learning to deal with people. Because how many of you know that dealing with people isn't always easy? Right? Sometimes people are just plain dumb. This guy right here. I'm one of them. For some reason, I can't handle dumb people. I don't know. I'm just kidding. They're makes me feel special. I feel welcome. So his timing, he allows you to make choices. His timing is perfect. But I think the most beautiful thing, and this is the final point, there's been a lot of them. And if you don't remember any of the other points that I've given you, this is the one that's the most valuable. He knows you intimately. He knows every detail about you. Every detail. Every detail. All the things you want to hide. All the good that you've done that you wish that everybody would see. He sees. He's always there. Psalms 139, 1 through 3. Our Lord, let me say that clearer. Psalms 139, 1 through 3 says, our Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up, you know my every thought, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. See, as a father, sometimes we're not everywhere. We wish we could be everywhere. We wish we could see everything that was going on and protect our children. And maybe you've been an assistant with children where you've wanted to follow along, fathers, maybe mothers too, I don't know. Follow along on the date just to make sure that boy doesn't hold your daughter's hand. I don't know if I'll be that dad. I really don't know. He knows you intimately. He knows your troubles. He knows the things that go on in your heart. He knows when you're hurting. He cries with you when you cry. He rejoices with you when you rejoice. He walks alongside you. He knows our needs, but he also knows our wants. He knows where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. So I pray next time that you think about God as the Father. You don't think of him as a father who's sitting there waiting to discipline you, who's waiting there to smite you when you've done wrong. He's not a father who ignores you. or sets the wrong example for you. He is a father who loves you more than you could ever know. There's a story I've read my children. It always ends with, "I'll love you to the moon and back." Kind of cheesy, bear with me, but he'll love you to heaven and back. He'll always love you. His love is never ending. And I know he'll continue to be with you. You know why? Because he's already been here through eternity. Surprise, surprise. I've got a song. It's a song called "I Was There." It's a song by Josh Turner. And it talks about how God was there from the beginning. He was there in the large moments of history. He was there in the big moments of your life. He was there when you needed it the most. I pray that this song will be a reminder that to you that he'll never leave you. He never has. He never will. "I Was There" by Josh Turner. "I was there that night in Bethlehem, and when Neil and the boys came to the moon in that tin can. At Gettysburg, Omaha Beach, and Vietnam, I heard every soldier's cry and every mama's prayer. I was there. I was there when you took your first breath, and when you let that stolen lucky strike and like a choke to death. And I was in the, I was waist deep in Carter's Creek when Preacher John dunked you down in the water and raised you up for air. I was there, 'cause I'm always around. I was then and I am now, and I'll be here when tomorrow comes. And when the world comes to an end, I'm where it starts again. I'm never farther than a word away. You've always got a friend. When your grandma passed, I was in that house. And when your granddad ran down the streets of gold to show her around, I was there. 'Cause I'm always around. I was then and I am now, and I'll be here when tomorrow comes. And when the world comes to an end, I'm where it starts again. I'm never farther than a word away. You've always got a friend. I was there last night on Highway 9, when you answered the phone and ran right through that stop sign. Well, I was in the cab of that big rig in that trucker's ear. Made him swerve to the right and miss you by a hair. I was there. When you're feeling alone, look up. I'm the one who answers prayer. 'Cause I'm always there. He's always there. And he'll always be there. He's been there for your family. He'll always be there for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And I pray you remember that in those hard times when you feel like everything's going the wrong way. When you feel like there's no one there to comfort you. I pray you remember that he's that father that will always wrap his arms around you. And will never let you go. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being with us this evening. We thank you for that everlasting love that you show us every day. We thank you for never leaving us. We thank you for wrapping your arms around us when we need you the most. We thank you for being so gracious and faithful to us. We thank you for not losing your patience with us every time we fall. Not only do you not lose your patience when we fall, but you're there to pick us back up. I pray that each and every individual here will remember that. They're never alone. That when they need to talk to anybody, when they need to talk to someone, when they need a listening ear, you're there for them. I also pray that they will remember to take time to listen. Because there, you're there to give us the wisdom that you have for us. It just takes us being silent and listening to your word. We love you so much. And I pray for each and every individual as they leave this place. Keep them safe. Until we come again tomorrow evening. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for being our very best friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. We'll see you tomorrow night.